Hi there. Thanks for downloading and listening to this Speak Free Radio podcast. All the shows are free to download and stream, and always will be. If you get value from them and would like to sponsor the station with a donation, we'd appreciate your help as part of our end-of-year donation drive. Just go over to speakfreeradio.com and click the Donate button on the top right of the website. Thanks for your help, and now, time for the show.
At four.
B-A-T-F I-R-S C-I-A-N-F B-I F-D-A and F-C-C A-D-L and K-G-B.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Eli James here, and this is our continuing series on Charles Lee Mange, otherwise known as Pastor Dan Gehman, and his excellent document on the two-seed line doctrine. And let me just put it into the chat room again. And we're going to be starting at page 47, the bottom paragraph. And this is the basic doctrine of two-seed line. And while I'm on the subject, because I was just thinking about how, and for new listeners, how Christian identity differs from mainstream versions of Judeo-Christianity. And Christian identity differs radically from conventional Christianity because our theology is based on the word study method, which means that we take into consideration the actual definition of the Hebrew word and the Greek words in Scripture, as opposed to the accepted, standard, and often dogmatic translations that are contained in most of the translations of the Bible. So when you actually take a look at the meanings of the Hebrew words and compare them to the translations, you find that the Bible is rife with mistranslations, often very deliberate interpolations, which means a deliberately false translation, and sometimes just plain old mistakes that happen all over the place. Sometimes some theologians have said the King James, for example, has over 30,000 errors. Most of these errors are not major, but there are some very major, major blunders, deliberate interpolations, such as translating the name of Yahweh, the Tetragrammaton, YHWH, into LORD. Okay. And that should never have been done. And that was done by the Masoretes of the current Hebrew. My understanding is that the Masoretes, that's the Jews who created a modernized version of the Old Testament. They haven't actually doctored the Old Testament, but what they've done is with their vowel points, by adding vowel points which did not exist in the Old Hebrew, they have created their interpretation by default, by adding their vowel points and other things, and by changing YHWH into LORD. That's one of the major problems that exists in King James and other translations. So these are the things that need to be corrected, and we have been doing our utmost in the Christian identity movement to correct these false translations and errors. And so that's why we differ so radically from mainstream Judeo-Churchianity. So, but before I go on, I just want to make a quick announcement that at Speak Free Radio, check the box. Also at Eurofolk Radio, my book, The Great Impersonation, How the Antichrist Has Deceived the Whole World, is available at Speak Free Radio. Just go ahead and click on that book or go to moneytreepublishing.com, moneytreepublishing.com, and you'll see the full array of books available there. And we're having a sale, around the clock sale, for Christmas, New Year's, Valentine's Day, and of course Halloween. Yeah, don't forget to get a copy of a book that is anti-establishment don't forget birthdays. Don't forget birthdays, and support the effort we have going here, this combined effort between Speak Free Radio and Eurofolk Radio, to get the word out, get the Jew lies exposed, and get the truth. That's what we're trying to do, folks. And so I applaud Dave Gaharry, Paul English, and all the people involved with Speak Free Radio, and of course everybody involved here in Eurofolk Radio. That's what we're all about. We're trying to expose the Jewish lies by which our people, Israel, the white race, have been flummoxed now for nearly 2,000 years. But more than that, it's actually since around 1900, when the Rothschilds and Samuel Untermeyer hired C.I. Schofield to reinterpret the scriptures according to Jewish ideas and the institution of the Zionist movement, which is what they have been doing. It's the COVID-19 is good. COVID-19, it's all covert. Everything the Jews do is covert. It's sly. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hip. Okay, we had a brief interruption there, but I see Sussex Man has called in. Did you want to say something, Sussex Man, or are you just listening on StreamYard?
Well, I was just listening. Got in there by accident, Eli.
Oh, okay. All right. So, but since I know you so well, and if there's any questions you have at this point, since you're live, if you have something to say, go ahead. Otherwise, you know, we'll just wait till after I take the break.
Can't think of anything at the moment, Eli.
Right. Okay, very good. Yeah, because in Christian Identity, there's actually a wealth, tons of literature available from the British side, British Israel, that confirms the fact that we, the Caucasian people, are in fact the Israelites of the Bible, and the Jews are imposters. So, and then there's the American Israel, which is called Christian Identity. We have had our authors, you know, such as Bertrand Comparé, Dr. Wesley Swift, Howard B. Rand, and of course, right here we're talking about Pastor Dan Gaiman. There's a wealth of literature exposing the fact that the Jews are not God's chosen people, and we are. So I'm going to just continue with this presentation, and let me get it back up here. Yeah, when I got disconnected, here we go. So it appears that I've lost connection to when I got disconnected from StreamYard. I lost connection to the document. So let me see if I can get the document back. Yeah, here we go. Here we go. All right. The two seeds of Genesis 3:15, page 47, bottom paragraph. Quote, "You will find upon careful examination that the literal truth of Genesis 3:15 has been a solid building block in the foundation of Christian theology. From the writings of the Old Testament, the teachings of Yahshua Messiah himself, the apostles after him, and by the early church fathers during the first centuries AD. Oh, by the way, Michael can't make today. He's off hunting. That's his favorite sport. So they still allow Swedes to have rifles for hunting. The truth of Genesis 3:15 cannot be spiritualized away by the ignorance of man. Now, of course, for those of you who are new, Genesis 3:15 talks about the enmity that Yahweh placed between the two bloodlines. That's what this is all about, the two bloodlines, and that's why this show is called Bloodlines. One documented from Seth, all the way down into the New Testament, names all the patriarchs from Seth down to Yahshua Messiah. And we in Identity have traced the bloodlines into Europe, into South Africa, Switzerland, Denmark, America, Canada, you name it. We have traced these bloodlines, which are very clear. And then on the other hand, the other bloodline is that of Cain, which goes very simply like this. Cain, Canaanites, Edomites, Jews. That's the long and the short of it. Cain, Canaanites, Edomites, Jews. That bloodline is also documented in the Holy Bible, but very few people outside of a Christian Identity bother to trace that bloodline into the modern Jews. Of course, the Edomites are the ones who became the Pharisees of the New Testament, who put our Lord and Savior, Yahshua Messiah, to death. And they can deny it all they want to. They did it. We know they did it. And they know that we know they did it. And that's why they hate Christian Identity so much, because we have the goods on them. And that's why we, you know, both Speak Free Radio and Your Folk Radio are on the air, because somebody has to be able to speak the truth without being censored by a Jew. All right. So that's why we're here. So let's continue. So, and the early church fathers knew this truth of the bloodlines as well. The truth of Genesis 3:15 cannot be spiritualized away by the ignorance of people. For nearly 6,000 years, the very presence of both, one, the seed of the serpent, and two, the seed of the woman, has been on the earth. Okay, so that's the seed line of Cain and the seed line of Seth, clearly traced in the Holy Scriptures. All right. So, the age-old enmity planted by Yahweh, Yahshua Messiah, still rages between these two forces. Indeed, everything you're seeing today is Rothschild bloodline seed of Satan activity against us. You may have noticed that in the world, the Jews never have anything good to say about white people. You know, they will praise the other races, but they will never say anything good about us. Now, why is that? Could it be the enmity at work? Of course, they deny they have hatred toward us, but they never do anything good or even say anything good to us or about us. That is the actual fact, and that's just more proof that this seed line doctrine is in fact the truth. So we have to understand that these Jews, as Pastor Dan Gaiman already stated, are direct descendants of Nahash, the fallen angel that seduced Eve and created Cain. And because Cain had the blood of a fallen angel, an evil fallen angel, in him, that's why he killed Abel. That's why, okay? He continues. Today, it reaches forth in the grand finale of the age. The climax of the ages is upon us. And this was written, I think, around 1975, if I'm not mistaken. And so those of us in Identity have seen the handwriting on the wall, that because the scriptures clearly prophesy in the book of Revelation that the beast system, which is the Rothschild Rockefeller global money system, has taken control over the entire planet through money creation. The beast of the book of Revelation is in fact the fractional reserve banking system. And because they have been given the right, false authority, to create money, spend it into circulation on their pet projects, including wars and revolutions, communist revolutions, these evil Jews have taken over the entire planet, and there really is no longer any country that is immune to this control, although the BRICS nations that are coming up, and more nations are joining BRICS nations and turning away from the Federal Reserve monopoly on money issuance around the world. So you have to understand, and here again, another failing of both Judeo-Christianity and Judaism. Question is, why do neither of these groups explain how the money system really works, right? Well, the Jews aren't going to explain it because they don't want you to know how it works. Meyer Amschel Rothschild simply stated, give me the power to issue a nation's currency, and I care not who makes its laws. Okay? So if you control the purse strings of a country, it doesn't matter what laws they pass. You just do as you please and spend the nation's money on your pet project, which is exactly how the beast system works. Now, the Judeo-Christians, the fact is the vast majority of Judeo-Christian theologians are utterly ignorant of economics and how economics is supposed to work. What's even worse, however, is the vast majority of these Judeo-Christian theologians support the Jews. But, of course, this has all been prophesied, and the termination of the beast system has also been prophesied, both in the book of Revelation and in various books of the Old Testament. In the New Testament, also, there is Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the wheat and tares, which very clearly states that the tares, who are the children of the wicked one, will be gathered and burned. And then after they're gathered and burned, then the children of the kingdom, which is us, the Caucasian Israelite people, will enter the kingdom. This is exactly what the Bible teaches, but you will never hear this from a Judeo-Christian pulpit because all of them teach some form of universalism. In other words, the Bible was written for everybody, including Jews. No, the Jews had no hand in writing it whatsoever. And, of course, the Bible is exclusively about the bloodlines coming from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And no other people are even considered as part of it. And so, therefore, the Bible cannot be universalized to all nations and people as the Judeo-churches teach. Now, of course, the Jews teach an exclusivity of their own, but it's not based on the Bible. It's based on their Talmud, which is their true holy book, or I should say unholy book. So therefore, the climax of the ages is upon us, and you can see all the wars and rumors of wars that are upon us, and of course, COVID-19 is part of the Jewish war against the white race. I can't tell you how many of these vaccine corporations are run by Jews, and of course, the United Nations is run by Jews. Everything's run by Jews. Hollywood, the economy, entertainment, news, etc. It's all run by these evil seed of Genesis 3:15. So let's continue. In this crucial hour of history, we dare not surrender, compromise, or talk ourselves out of this most fundamental kingdom identity Bible truth. This is no time to whitewash the satanic Jew offspring of Satan. But that is what anybody who does not understand that Jews are the progeny of Genesis 3:15 on the evil side is doing. They're whitewashing the Bible. They're whitewashing history. They're covering for the Jew. That's what they're doing. Okay? Because the bloodlines are clearly there. Yet, only those of us in identity, the two seed line branch, teach it. But it's clearly there. Everybody else ignores it. Why do they ignore it? Well, because they're afraid of offending the Jew, or they're afraid of offending the sensibility of those Judeo-Christians who don't want to believe that Eve was actually sexually seduced in Genesis chapter 3. But it's very clearly there because her private parts had to be covered by a fig leaf, right? And Adam's as well. And that her womb was cursed with painful childbirth, etc. It's very obvious that that's what happened, yet nobody wants to believe it because, well, it isn't taught in the Judeo churches. But the Jews actually do teach it, but they keep that under wraps. They don't make it public because they don't want anybody to really think about this, because if you think about it, you will find that the Jews are the offspring of Satan. Okay, so, all right. Okay, all right, a comment in the chat room. Arnold Murray says Esther is fabricated. Mordecai is a Kenite. He says, no, actually, that's false. This is another area where the non-seed line, although Pastor Murray was as close to two seed line as he could possibly get because he referred to the Jews as Kenites. What's a Kenite? Kenites are the offspring of Cain. And Pastor Steve and I had done a couple of shows proving that Esther is not a Jewish book. That's just the reason why so many Christians, including Murray, think that is because the word Jew occurs so often in that book. But that is a fabrication because the Jews are not Judah. All right. Yeah. And Bavarian says very, very clearly that Esther was a Benjamite and so was Mordecai. I mean, are you going to go against what the Bible actually says? Are you going to make up doctrine that isn't there? And everything there is, in fact, the book of Esther is, which is what the Jews are trying to do to our race today. Okay. So all of the tricks that they have led, including COVID-19 and all the transgenderism, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, yeah. Child sex trafficking, adrenochrome. In fact, I don't know if you've heard, but a lot of the children, the non-white children crossing the border here into America are being sex trafficked, if not killed outright for their body parts, et cetera, et cetera. This is Haman. This is Amalek operating their, I can't even call it a religion. It's organized crime pretending to be religion. And so this understanding you will not get from anybody else except those of us in identity. So, all right. So, yeah, for some reason we're having dropouts, and I'll just continue because it is coming back. Thank you. All right. Yeah, and so Swamp Fox says the Masoretes were a group of Jewish scribes who helped preserve the text of the Old Testament scriptures and developed notes on the text based on Jewish traditions. Yes, the Masoretic text is a Jewish rendition of the Hebrew Old Testament. They cannot be considered to be equal, and the Jews themselves admit that their true religion is Talmudism, which Yahshua Messiah accused them of practicing their own traditions as opposed to biblical traditions, the traditions of Israel. Okay, so please be patient, everybody. Apparently, we're getting dropouts, but some people may need to refresh their screen. So hopefully this will not be continuing. Although Paul and I talked about this earlier today, that we've been having this problem of popping in and out. So hopefully the recording will be good. In any case, I will continue. Yeah, so the Haman was an Amalekite. He tried to set up both Mordecai and Esther, but because Esther was so beautiful, right? Show me a beautiful Jewish woman. Because Esther was so beautiful, the king chose her above all the rest. The one verse in the book of Esther that proves that Esther was an Israelite was where she has to go into the court of the king, and knowing that she's an Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin, she says, I go in. If I perish, I perish. No Canaanite woman would have any trepidation about going into the king's bedroom. No Canaanite woman would ever had any trepidation about that, but an Israelite woman would have. She feared the judgment of Yahweh upon her if she lay with a non-Israelite man, okay? No Canaanite woman would ever had any such trepidation, okay? So let's continue with this document. Good question, though. Very pertinent to the bloodlines here. So, he says, now we are in the hour of history. We dare not surrender, compromise, or talk ourselves out of this most fundamental kingdom identity Bible truth. This is no time to whitewash the satanic Jew offspring of Satan. We are this day faced with the very climax of this enmity, this warfare, and right now it's silent warfare with drugs, but it's also open warfare with unbelievable weapons they have developed in these end times. Drones, they can be targeted to kill an individual. 5G, did your phone get updated to 5G without your permission, without your knowledge? I'll bet that happened to you. I picked up my phone after, and why did they pick 2:22 p.m. they love to play with numbers, right? Is that a Freemasonic number, 2:22? I'll bet it is. And all of a sudden, I see my phone now is 5G, where it wasn't 5G before. It was only a 4G phone. So they are doing everything they possibly can to spy on us. And the problem is that they can use your cell phone to, if you've got the shot, the mRNA shot, they can use your cell phone to activate the injection. That's why I've been telling everybody, do not get the shot. It will cause you health problems right from the beginning. If you're lucky, it won't on the first or second shot, but the third shot will be the killer. And they're perfecting this technology constantly so that the spike proteins that, which they're injecting in us will eventually make us very, very sick and we will die. This is their intention because they want to destroy the white race. This is two seed line theology, folks. Okay. So we are this day faced with the very climax of this enmity, this warfare between these two seed lines. And Yahweh, give us the courage to stand, for through Yahshua Messiah and his shed blood, the head of the serpent race, the very Kahila itself, the Kahila is the Jewish power structure, that's the term they themselves use for it, shall be crushed through the power of Yahshua Messiah. Jesus Christ / Yahshua Messiah described the reapers of the satanic harvest in Matthew 13:41. And you may read Psalms chapter 149 and Jeremiah 51:20 for more light. Now, of course, part of the creation of the Masoretic text was that the Jews, the Masoretic rabbis, tried to eliminate prophecies concerning the Messiah that they figured would be needed to be eliminated. But fortunately, we have the Septuagint, the LXX, as it is known, still contain these prophecies because the LXX, the Septuagint, is complete, where the Masoretic text is redacted to remove specific prophecies concerning the life of Christ. Okay? Very specific prophecies have been removed by the Jews. In fact, the Jews don't even read from the book of Daniel. They ignore the book of Daniel altogether because it contains the very precise prophecy from the decree of Artaxerxes to the birth of Christ and even the execution of Christ. Very specific prophecy there, folks, that the Jews want to whitewash. If you want to talk about whitewashing, the Bible has been whitewashed by the Jews. And they pretend, and scheme of schemes, pretense of pretense, impersonation of impersonations. By impersonating true Israel, the Jews have created a pall, a shroud over the eyes of Christians who still believe that they are God's chosen people. But look at what's happening in Israel since that bandit state was created. America never had any enemies in the Middle East. None. Zero. Until this demon seed took possession of Palestine and started murdering people left and right. As you may have heard the previous show to this, talking about all of the weapons of mass destruction that the Israelis have and use against the Palestinian people. And they claim to be the ones who are persecuted, right? Okay, that's another myth. The Holocaust is another Jewish myth. It's just one Jewish myth after another. And there's no end to it, and there won't be any end to it until Yahshua returns. But I think the only delay is the fact that there still aren't enough white Caucasian Israelites aware of who they are to don the white robes required for entry for the wedding feast of the Lamb. Okay, so we're doing our absolute best to alert and inform white Christians to give up their Judeo-Christian rhetoric and turn to Christian identity. It's a racial message. A lot of people outside in the white nationalist movement, even neo-pagans, think that Christian identity is just another version of Judaism. No, we reject Judaism totally, even more than they do, because they don't know what Judaism is. They think Judaism is the religion of the Old Testament. That's just another Jewish myth. So, folks, you have to understand that these two seed lines are still at enmity with one another, but the one, the evil seed line, is pretending to be Israel. And that's the theme of my book, The Great Impersonation. And please buy some for your relatives this Christmas, Halloween, Thanksgiving. Give thanks that the truth is coming out. Okay? And don't forget Valentine's Day. All right? What's that? What's that other day? The sweetest day? I mean, there's no end to so-called holidays in which our people gorge themselves with sugar and GMO and processed foods, all of which create the so-called flu, which we get seasonally, right? Okay? That's the true cause of the seasonal flu. And, of course, this is the Jewish doctrine. Vaccination is a Jewish enterprise. Their cure will kill you, right? It's all about killing the white race. Okay, JT says he pulled the battery out of his phone and it still says 4G. Well, mine now says 5G. So something happened to my phone. I lost my phone overnight that day. Couldn't find it. I was playing Rapid in, you know, a silver foil and everything else I could find to prevent the unwanted update from happening. So lo and behold, I look at my phone and it says 5G. It used to say only 4G. Okay. So, yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. So it's really one of those things where they are in total control. As Paul says, Satan is the prince of this world, but it is our job to resist. James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Okay. Yes, and the Kenites have been changing things and outright shoving things down the memory hole from the beginning. And we discovered a new word last Friday when we were talking about health, the word gavage, G-A-V-A-G-E, which is a medical term of shoving stuff in, putting stuff in your body that you do not request, such as vaccines, right? Or whatever, they want to shove up your throat, the so-called swab that they use to supposedly test you for COVID with a really long probe, right? That actually injected you. So if you took one of those probes, it actually injected you. All right. So this is how devious these are. The children of the devil. Absolutely, the synagogue of Satan. Absolutely, the synagogue of Satan. So let's continue. Now, in the meantime, the battle race is outside the comfort of your living room, but it's also in your living room. It's called television, radio, and in your bedroom, in your bathroom, because the vast majority of the product you buy for your bedroom and for your bathroom are now tainted. They're increasing the amount of toxins in everything. Food, canned goods, they're trying to inject it into real food, such as potatoes and apples, injecting them with mRNA, so hoping that by ingesting it, they can control you with it. That can't possibly work as well as an injection. But they're trying to perfect the entry into your body so that it can get past your stomach acid into your small intestine and large intestine, where it can do all the damage. Plus, this is nanotechnology, folks. These things are so small that they can go through, permeate virtually any human tissue. So this is, can it be any more evil? It really cannot be any more evil. And so let's continue. He quotes Revelation 12:27, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have testimony of Yahshua Messiah. Okay? Well, it's very obvious that the woman is Israel, because the whole Bible is about Israel and no other people, not the Jews. The dragon is the Jews. The dragon was wroth with the woman. Of course, there's a spiritual Satan still in existence as well, directing the activities of the devils in shoe leather, namely the Jewish people, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, her offspring, the remnant, that is, those up. And that's a good thing. Now, let me read the whole verse, because this applies to the Judeo-Christians who are sitting around waiting to be raptured and preaching love, 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 when all the world sees is hate, 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 the enmity between it. This is a blood feud, folks. Let me read the whole verse now. Again, this is Revelation 12, 27. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which is us, which is the white race. Whether they're Judeo-Christians or not, doesn't make any difference. The Jews want to eliminate you. Now, important, which keep the commandments of God. Unfortunately, the vast majority of Judeo-Christians do not keep the commandments of Yahweh. Therefore, they cannot be considered part of the remnant. There are two conditions here. The second condition is, and have the testimony of Yahshua Messiah. So you have to understand that Yahshua Messiah, your kinsman redeemer, came to redeem you of your old sins and put upon you the Holy Spirit, which was given at Pentecost, the same year that he died. But we still have to obey the commandments of God. This is the book of Revelation. This was written after he was sacrificed on the cross. But so many churches teach that the commandments were nailed to the cross. No, they were not. What was nailed to the cross was the sins of Israel. That's the, think about it. The entire Passover Sabbath ritual was to kill a lamb without blemish, a lamb without blemish. That could only be Yahshua Messiah. He was perfect physically, and he was perfect spiritually and morally. He was perfect, absolutely perfect, sinless, etc. That's the only kind of sacrifice that could possibly redeem us, okay? So after that happened, he didn't do away with the law. He took our sins off of us up to that point in time. That was the whole point of the Passover ritual, to redeem us of our sins, our kinsman redeemer. And Yahshua clearly said, I come not but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The word lost being from the Greek apolumi, meaning put away in punishment. So that verse doesn't talk about people in general. It's only talking about the Israelites who were put away in punishment back in 745 BC. So let's continue. Yes, the dragon, that international satanic race of Jewish Pharisees, has declared a total war on the seed of the woman, just as Yahshua foretold. Praise the name and power of Yahshua Messiah, white Christian people. The seed of the woman will have a total victory over the satanic seed line as recorded in Revelation 15, 2 and 3. And as recorded actually throughout the entire Bible, Book of Obadiah tells of the day when these Edomites, who have established a world power structure, will gradually be abandoned by their allies. And we can see that happening right now. The BRICS nations are forming their own global money system in opposition to the Federal Reserve note, which the Jews have been using since the Bretton Woods Agreement. Okay, so the BRICS coalition threatens to overthrow the Rothschild money power, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Don't throw away your gold and silver, folks. Don't throw your gold and silver. You're going to need it. And don't throw away your canned tuna. I've been telling people for now 15 years or more, stock up on canned tuna and wheelbarrows, because the money will be so inflated that you're going to need a wheelbarrow full of cash to buy a loaf of bread. And don't you know that inflation has just quadrupled and tripled since the early days of 2000, okay? It's getting constantly worse. It's now a hyperbolic curve. the inflation is so high, paralleling what happened in Germany during the Weimar Republic, which was totally controlled by Jew bankers as well. Okay, so we have numerous episodes in history to fall back on to prove that we have the right, the correct, and theologically correct attitude toward what's going on in the world today. Okay, so those of you who are having sound problems, go ahead and just try to refresh, and hopefully the sound problems will not continue. And okay, oh, okay, so Mr. Kim Smith said that Mordecai was a worshiper of Mars, according to the Smith Bible Dictionary. You have to understand that a lot of these Bible dictionaries and concordances have been infected by Jew lies as well. Even the Strong's Concordance has been infected by Jew lies. You know, and the fact that they replaced the word Judah with the word Jew in many places in the Old Testament, which is illegitimate. A Jew is not a Judahite. A Jew is anyone who pretends to be a Judahite, and that's typically Edomites, okay? So there have been multiple additions and subtractions to the translations that our people don't know about. And that's one of the reasons why we're here, is to explain that these false translations, otherwise known as interpolations, have been put in there by the Jews. There's not one word of scripture was written by any Jew. That's a complete falsehood. There was no such word as Judaism. You won't find that word in the Old Testament or in the New Testament. There was no such word. That's a much later concoction by the Masoretic rabbis, and the Masoretic text was not completed until around 1000 AD. But nevertheless, because our people are not taught history by the churches, we just assume that these interpolations apply to the Hebrew and the Greek. No, they do not. A Judahite is a Judahite. A Jew is a Jew. They're just as different as cowboys and Indians. Just because somebody has come along and say that they're the same, especially if a Jew says it, you should be suspicious, right? So that'd be interesting. Anyway, Mr. Kim Smith, that's interesting that the Smith Bible Dictionary gives that definition or comment. I've never heard of that. Okay. But let's continue. Okay. And Swamp Fox says ancienthebrew.org, Smith's HTM. Okay. Well, that's very interesting. So let me go to click on that and see Mordecai, meaning little man or worshiper of Mars. Okay. Well, that's not the definition given in the Bible. I think in the Bible is simply the name of a person. But on the other hand, it says the deliverer under divine providence of the Jews, no, of Judah, from the destruction plotted against them by Haman, the chief minister of Xerxes. But he was an Amalekite, which Smith's Bible Dictionary fails to inform you of. And Mordecai was not a Jew, he was a Judahite. So you can see the false interpretations and interpolations of the Bible will prejudice you against Mordecai, because he was not a Jew, he was a Benjamite, as the Bible clearly says. So was Esther. Okay. So again, you have to draw a sharp line between Jewish interpolation of scripture and the unfortunate fact that Judeo-Christians simply copy them word for word, as opposed to looking up the meanings of the words in scripture. That is what Judeo-Christianity is. It is simply a copycat version of Judaism, whether they want to be that or not. Okay. So Esther is not a Jewish book. And, you know, I can do a show about that, although Pastor Steve and I did two shows about that a long time ago, proving that it is not a Jewish book. Okay, so then he says, the incidents of his history are too well known to need to be dwelt upon. No, he's got the wrong information. He's got the Jewish version or the Jewish commentaries on the book of Esther, as opposed to just reading the book for itself and what it says. Okay, so he says, three things are predicated of Mordecai in the book of Esther, that he lived in Shushan. Well, so did Haman. that his name was Mordecai, son of Jair, son of Shimei, son of Cush, son of Benja, the Benjamite. Benjamite. If he's a Benjamite, he can't be an Edomite. Now, possibly the word Mordecai, well, it says little man, or worshiper of Mars, or worshiper or Mars. Okay, I misread that. See, an O, the difference between an R and an F threw me off. Okay, or worshiper or Mars. I'm going to have to make a quick foray into my concordance here to see what my King James concordance actually says here. So, Mr. Smith may be wrong, okay? And so far, this commentary is wrong, okay? And, of course, what he says, the incidents of history are too well known. No, you're falsely assuming that the Jews wrote the Bible. That's a false assumption, okay? So, and here he gives us the genealogy of Mordecai, which clearly tells us that he is a Benjamite. And that he brought up Esther, who was also a Benjamite. Okay? So, folks, there's so much confusion in Judeo-Christianity that it simply is ridiculous. Simply is ridiculous because our people have been so brainwashed by Judaism and the false idea that the Jews are God's chosen people, Israel, that their heads are spinning. We are trying to provide sanity to the Bible, the correct interpretation. Again, as I started out by saying, that you have to do the word studies. You have to look up the meanings of the words, and then you will find that there are so many false translations of these Hebrew words that it's not funny. It's simply not funny. So, the Strong's Concordance for the word Mordecai states of foreign derivation. So the word more, and the fact is a lot of the Israelites were named after Chaldeans, named after non, especially later on when the Greeks invaded Israel or Judah, they took Greek names and later on they took Roman names, but it's not uncommon that the Israelites, in fact, especially during the captivity in Babylon, some of the Judahites took on Babylonian names, not out of worship of the Babylonians, but simply, you know, it's the fashion today, you know, like Tyrone, right? It used to be a fashion among our people to give our children biblical names, but now our people take up fashionable names instead, okay? So, continuing with the definition here, of foreign derivation, Mordecai, an Israelite. That's all that Strong Concordance has to say about that. Let me repeat. The word Mordecai is of foreign derivation, but Mordecai the man was an Israelite. Okay? So I don't know where Smith comes up with this worshiper of Mars business. Okay? I don't know where he comes up with that. So again, and so what we do here at Eurofolk Radio is we consult multiple concordances, and typically the best is the Strong Driver Briggs Gesenius. That is the best source for finding out the true meanings of the Hebrew words. Okay. Yes. And so, yeah, right. And like I said, Pastor Steve and I have done two shows about the Book of Esther showing that it's false translation. And the biggest false translation in that book is the word Jew. It should always have been translated either as Judah or Judahite. Because why? The Bible says that you shall not, no mamzer shall enter into the kingdom of Israel, of Yahweh. What's a mamzer? It's a half-breed. A mongrel, no mongrel shall enter the congregation of Yahweh. It's absolutely forbidden. And so Mordecai could not have been a mongrel, but Haman was an outright Amalekite. All right. So, but because the Judeo-Christians simply believe the Jewish Jewish version, their story, what they tell us what happened. No, they're liars from the get-go. Okay. And so, and this is what I tried to tell and been telling white nationalists all along. If you know that the Jews are liars, you see that every single day in the modern world. Why do you believe them when they claim to be Israel? Right? They are not Israel. They are not Judah. They are Jews, which is a totally different race. It's the satanic seed line that Pastor Gaiman is explaining to us about. Okay, so let's get back to the document. But very good. Very good discussion. These are the types of points that we in Christian identity need to clarify for people, because you know, don't just take our word for it. You know, we've done the word studies. We know the true meanings of these words. Like, you know, there's cowboys and there's Indians, right? And they have different genomes. You can't mistake a cowboy for an Indian unless they have intermarried, which is forbidden. We are forbidden to intermarry with the other races. So what would you call the offspring of a cowboy and Indian? A half-breed. And in the South, in New Orleans, there were all kinds of, and this is a bad aspect of black slavery that happened in the South. There were a lot of offspring. A lot of the white slave owners would make love, to put it, you know, to their black slave women and produce a hybrid. Those were called Creole. A Creole is a forbidden hybrid. Okay, so what are we supposed to do with all these Creoles? They're not supposed to be part of our society. So half-breeds are forbidden. And so, unfortunately, the plantation owners of the South did not obey Yahweh's law in that regard. But let's continue. And the woman will have a total victory over the satanic seed line as recorded in Revelation 15, verses 2 and 3. So let's go there again. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. And I have been struggling with this passage. And last week, I think I figured out what it really means, that the sea of glass is actually where Paul talks about, I see through a glass darkly. I see through a glass darkly. So what this is actually talking about in metaphoric language is that our eyesight is improving. Our eyesight, we can see through the lies of the Jews. And what's the fire? Well, the fire is where the Jews are going to be burning. So let me start this verse over. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, those of us who can see through the Jewish lies, and over his image. What's his image? Television, radio, movies. They control. Paul also says that Satan is the prince of the air. How about the airwaves? And over his mark, what's his mark? That's that six-pointed star of Rabbi David, not King David, folks, okay? And over the number of his name, which is 666, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. So, what it's telling us is that we will be able to see through Jewish lies. We will be standing on the sea of glass, looking down at the earth and all the travail and tribulation that's going on here, including our people. It's mainly our people who are going through all this travail, constant travail. And they falsely believe that this is just all random stuff, or maybe they falsely believe that this is Yahweh doing this to us. No, he's permitting it because of our refusal to obey his laws. Getting back to Revelation 12:27 again, or actually 17, that's a misprint up above there. It's Revelation 12:17. But now the veil is being removed from our eyes so that we can see clearly. And we're looking down with spiritual vision upon this planet in travail, this planet of Jewish lies, this planet of Jewish deceit, which has flummoxed so many of our people. But it's true of everything that the longer you've held the false belief, the more, the bigger the crowbar you need to pry that belief out of your consciousness. Or as Mark Twain said, it's easier to fool people than to convince them that they have been fooled. Because once that foolishness has gotten into your brain, into your mind, you know, after generations of lies by the Jews, we can't unseat those lies from your consciousness overnight. There has to be a spark of light. You have to begin to see that Judaism is not Christianity. Christianity and Judaism are totally opposed to one another. There is no such thing as Judeo-Christianity. That's another Jewish lie. And that up until the creation of the Schofield Reference Bible, every Christian in the world viewed a Jew with total suspicion and vice versa. So what changed? Zionist banking money created this Zionist agenda and convinced people, our people, that the Jews are God's chosen people, which they never believed before. So it took them two generations to inculcate this lie into our people. And unfortunately, the white nationalists have swallowed the lie just as much as the Judeo-Christians. Okay. Yeah, and one more point. I've also read the name of God is not mentioned, or name of Yahweh is not mentioned in Esther, but it is in the Septuagint version. This is one of the points that Pastor Steve and I brought out. Again, remember I said that the Masoretic text has been redacted by the Jewish rabbis, and they singled out the book of Esther for particular prevarication. But the Septuagint version does contain the name of Yahweh. And the book of Esther in the Septuagint is much longer than the version in the Masoretic text. Again, the Masoretic text is totally untrustworthy because it's a Jewish redaction. Now, they didn't change every word. I mean, you can read the King James Version, which is based on the Masoretic text, and get a lot of truth out of it. That's because the Jews couldn't change every word. They're too lazy to do that. They picked certain words, such as Judah, to change the definition and change it to Jew when it should be Judah or Judahite, and only those two. Judah being the man and Judahite being his offspring, male and female. Okay? So that this is the tactic by which the Masoretic version was created. And you have to hand it to them. That is very devious. It's very difficult to see through those kinds of lies. And that's why the bulk of my ministry, ever since I published The Great Impersonation the first time, which was back in 2003, my ministry has been focused on exposing the false translations contained in the King James and other versions. There's hardly a version out there that is really accurate, although Pastor Steve translated the Old Testament directly from the Hebrew into English, and that version is still available. And from now on, I'm going to be promoting that as well, because you need to know how the Bible should be translated as opposed to how it has been translated. And even if there are good versions like the Jerusalem Bible, which unfortunately still uses the word Jew, but it also uses the word race, which is the correct translation of the Greek word ethnos, race. Again, strong concordance will give you that definition. So why doesn't the Bible use the word race when that is the first translation of the word ethnos? But the Farrar Fenton does also, so does the Jerusalem Bible, but the King James Version does not. Okay, so these are the things that we must contend with as scholars and as preachers and those, what did the Bible say? Feed my sheep. And the only way you can get the truth is from Christian identity. No other version of scriptural, you know, analysis even comes close to the proper meanings of the Hebrew and Greek words. And that's just a fact. That's just a simple fact. Okay. So let's continue. So this sea of glass represents the clearing up of our vision in these end times. That's what it represents. And I have to say, well, isn't that a stretch? Eli, that no, the fact is, the entire book of Revelation is nothing but figurative language. It's all metaphoric, all of which represents a historical development, a real activity in the world that must have happened, and if it hasn't happened yet, but will happen, okay? Such as, for example, the prophecy in the book of Revelation that a great solar prominence would hit the earth and start burning everything up, okay? And so we have to watch the skies, getting ready to foresee that development. All right, so folks, this is not all of the book of Revelation, most of the book of Revelation has been fulfilled already, but we're in the very last stages. We're at the 11th minute of the 11th hour before midnight, okay, and probably even closer than that. And I bring up the number 11 because that's the Jews' favorite number. It was November 11th, next month. We'll do a show about this, that the Rothschilds, every November 11th, have an annual parade of Gog and Magog down the streets of London. Now, why would the Jews honor Gog and Magog in such a fashion? Could it be that they are Gog and Magog? Of course they are. Okay. So, and having harps, the harps of God. Now listen, listen. And they sing the song of Moses. They sing the song of Moses. Now, what could that possibly be, folks? Could it be the Mosaic Law? Question. Did the Masoretes write the Septuagint Bible that Christ quotes from? No, they did not. The Masoretic text was begun by Pharisees after Pentecost, when the Jews were kicked out. And they started manipulating the Hebrew text because with my hotspot, which has been running very well, and I had to restart it. So I'll stay on top of that the best I can, folks. So, yeah. Well, Smith's Bible Dictionary, Worshipper of Mars. Well, Mr. Smith's Bible Dictionary is wrong. I don't find, again, we consult different concordances. Now, maybe that is what the word Mordecai means, because Strong Concordance does state that the name Mordecai is of, unclear origin or foreign origin. So that may be, both of them can be correct, but Mordecai was a Benjaminite, as the text clearly says. Okay. So the early history of the Masoretic text and the reason why the Masoretic text was conceived by the Pharisaic rabbis was because the Israelites, the Judahites, and the followers of Yahshua were always quoting from the Septuagint, never from the original Hebrew. Why? Because they did not have access to the original Hebrew, and the Masoretic text was not yet written yet. So the Septuagint Bible was the only one they had to quote from. And the Jews realized that they could not argue against the emerging Christian world with the Old Testament that they had. Okay? So everything suggests that the 70 elders of Judah who translated the Old New Testament, the real Old Testament, into Greek had the full document, the full Hebrew document, and that was translated into Septuagint. But pay attention, they did not translate the Hebrew YHWH into LORD as the Masoretic text does. Okay? All right? There was no such redaction or change by the true Judahites. That change was instituted by the Masoretic rabbis, who are nothing other, than Pharisees. That's what they are. They're Pharisees, the ones who hate Christ, the ones who hate our race. So unless you're familiar with how the Jews have manipulated our literature and our minds, unless you're familiar with that manipulation, then you will never make sense of it. You will assume that the Jewish rendition, which is the King James Version, is full of these, redactions and changes by the Masoretes, that you will never understand it. It will just be confusing. And actually, one of the most confusing things about the Bible is, you know, everybody asks, where did Cain get his wife from? Where did Cain get his wife from? Well, if you actually go into the Hebrew language and realize that the Genesis 1 is about the creation of the races, and it says tells you very clearly that they were fruitful and multiplied before the end of Genesis 1, it tells you right there all kinds of people were being fruitful and multiplying, so that by the time Cain and Abel were born, there were all kinds of people on the earth, not just those, not just Adam, Eve, and Nahash, right? But they don't want to consider Nahash as being a humanoid capable of reproducing with Eve. They don't want to admit that, okay? So where in the world did Cain get his wife from? Out of the thousands and possibly hundreds of thousands of people who were already flourishing on the earth, according to Genesis chapter 1. It's very simple. But the Judeo-Christian churches assume falsely that Genesis chapter 2 is a continuation of... No, nobody was created in Genesis chapter 2. The operative word there is yatsar, meaning formed. And the word form means to revamp something that already exists, whereas the Hebrew word bara in chapter 1, it means to create, make something brand new. And because the theologians haven't done their homework and don't consult the language of the Old Testament, they simply, you know, refurbish their own lies and their own false ideas, that they haven't figured this out. It's really so simple, folks. Yahweh is not the author of confusion, but theologians are. Okay, so let's continue. Then they sing the song of Moses, which is the law, folks. The law has not been done away with. That's a lie. The servant of Yahweh and the song of the Lamb. This is actually a repetition of Revelation 12:17, where it says, in order to be considered part of the remnant, you have to obey the commandments of Yahweh and have the faith of Yahshua. You have to have both. If you only have one or the other, that's not good enough. So all the antinomians cannot be part of the remnant because they deny the commandments, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. And what is a saint? A saint is an Israelite who is righteous. Again, in Revelation 18:20-24, rejoice over her, thou heavens, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. Boy, I can't wait for that day. By the way, I've been praying and praying and praying. On the air, I've done this too. I've been praying for the Arab world to just rise up, all 50 million of them or more in the Middle East, and Muslims everywhere else. Not all of them are, all Muslims are Arabs. To just rise up against that bandit state, that abomination of desolation called Israel, and just rush in there with blazing guns and just destroy them and wipe them off the face of the earth. Because that's what needs to happen. Because as long as there's a single Edomite on this planet, there will never be any peace. Let's say there's one Edomite left, and that Edomite finds a wife from among the already existing races, right? Then he will beget offspring again. No. The Bible says that these Edomites will be as though they had never been. Total extermination, folks. The Bible predicts the total extermination of the Edomites once and for all, not the continuation of their race, okay? But if you don't know that these Edomites are Jews, not Judahites, you will not understand what those verses mean. So let's continue. And in her, the satanic seed of the Jewish serpent, was found the blood of the prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. And I'm on page 48 for those of you who are following the document. Again, at the very bottom, again in Revelation 9:6, And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters. Waters are symbolic of people. So here you can see that this verse, the voice of a great multitude, can be taken literally. But who is that multitude? Okay, well, it can include everybody on the planet Earth, because when these events, these last days events, actually come to pass, when the sun and the moon no longer provide their light, right, and darkness and confusion pervade on planet Earth. I mean, we're in the incipient stages of that right now, because that can be interpreted metaphorically as well. Darkness, the moon, the sun and the moon will no longer show their light. Why? Because they have been obscured, you know, the sun being the government and the moon being the church. But I think that's going to happen literally too. The sun will be blotted out for a time period. And if the sun's blotted out, then the moon cannot reflect the sun's light. So both of them will be blotted out. And all of this red moon, blood moon nonsense coming from Rabbi Khan. Forget about it, folks. There's no Jew who can give you, even if they understood the book of Revelation, they wouldn't tell you the truth about it. And that's true of the Catholic Church too, because the Catholic Church has become nothing but a puppet for the international Jew. The Rothschilds have controlled the Vatican Bank since the mid-1800s. And so we're going to have, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for Yahweh Elohim, omnipotent, reigneth. Okay, so this is talking about the coming of the kingdom after all of this current tribulation and after 6,000 years of tribulation. So we are fortunate to be living in a time where we can actually, with our own eyes, see the destruction of the Jewish beast, the destruction of their beast system. Well, praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. We will live to see that day. Okay, yeah, blocking the sun of moon. Yeah, and in fact, yeah, that's a good point, JT. The aerial spraying, they're trying to block the sun and the moon in the name of what? Global warming? Really? Really? It's pretty cold here in Arkansas right now. It's only like 58 degrees. It was 50 degrees this morning. So there's no such thing as global warming. And, you know, many scientists have come out and argued against it, right? And none of the predictions by Al Gore in that book full of lies that, you know, say all of the ice at both poles is going to melt and Venice is going to be flooded. Well, it happens periodically that Venice floods, right? But there has not been, since the publication of that book in the mid-80s, any such thing. Any such thing. So, I mean, but again, this is just another Jewish lie. It's just another Jewish lie. So let's continue. All right, so the amen and amen, he says, in closing, I would like to leave you with the following verse, and I forget what chapter this is, but the book continues after this. It's not the end of the book. We're about two-thirds of the way through. In closing, I would like to leave you with the following verse of the great song, Battle Hymn of the Republic. The following verse of this great song is no longer used in most churches for obvious reasons. It contains the final judgment that shall come upon the serpent and his seed. Now, the same thing is true of the national anthem. One of the verses, I think it's verse 3 of the national anthem, is very Christian and predicts the demise of evil on this planet. But nobody ever sings that verse. They only sing the first verse, the first stanza. Quote, I have read the fiery gospel writ in burnished rows of steel. As ye deal with my contemptors, so with you my grace shall deal. Let the hero born of woman crush the serpent with his heel, since God is marching on. Wow. Wow. Double wow. Let me read this again. I have read the fiery gospel. Yeah, judgment by fire. Writ in burnished rows of steel. As ye deal with my contemptors, so with you my grace shall deal. Let the hero born of woman, that is Mary, of course, crush the serpent with his heel, since God is marching on. Great stuff, folks. Absolutely great stuff. Okay, so at this point, I'm going to be taking a break, and I'm going to play a song which I loaded up to the the StreamYard, and I'm going to play this song, and this is by Jonathan David Brown. It's called The Insane Babylonians, and here it is. I fell into a trance. Isn't he speaking about the white race? We're under the trance of Judaism. All right, folks. So this is part two of today's show. And I just want to remind everybody that Money Tree Publishing has a sale going on for the holidays. And I'm just going to read some of the titles here. The Secret Masonic Victory of World War II. Might is Right. I'm not sure who the author is of that. But Communism by the Back Door by Dennis Wise. The Greatest Story Never Told. Hellstorm. And, of course, Exploding Middle East Myths. Of course, Dave Gehary is a Navy veteran, and he's exposing, you know, the evils of what happened in the Middle East at the when the Jews tried to sink our ship, the USS Liberty. Very, very few people will touch these subjects. Henry Ford, the international Jew, the war against whites, Jews are the problem, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of good stuff. All things that we know to be true in Christian identity, and that the secular world is still beginning to learn. Okay, and so let's continue with today's presentation. I will be jumping back and forth between StreamYard and Eurofolk Radio because I'm going to try to take calls, you know, and all you have to do is go to speakfreeradio.com, speakfreeradio.com/bloodlines, and then you can enter the call chat room, okay? And so you can call me. Sussex Man is already in there, and so, but I can't be what I have to split my screen to do this correctly, and so I'll be prepared to do that next week. Anyway, so if anybody wants to join in, feel free to do so. And yeah, it's simply a matter of joining to the and you will be added to the stage. Okay, so Sussex Man, do you have a question or comment at this point?
Just one thing I'd like to say, Eli. There's okay. been a lot of talk about this so-called new war against Israel by Hamas. But from right. my intel, I'm getting that it's another psycho-op.
Right.
Because Hamas is CIA-controlled, MI5 and all the other MI6, etc., and somebody reported, one of these commentators on the stock exchange, the oil price was going down. Now, since they've psycho-opped this war, it's gone up again.
I get it.
And also, somebody said it was also to get the Israeli population to move out to their new location.
Yeah, Khazaria. Right, yeah.
I don't know if you would agree with that, Eli.
Oh, no, actually I do. I do. Let me just comment on what you said so far. First of all, Hamas was created by the Israelis. It was created by the Israelis specifically to stage false flag events against Jews, okay, so that the Israeli state, the synagogue of Satan, would have an excuse to retaliate. And this is information you can easily look up online. Hamas was actually created by the Jews, okay? And we know that the Jews are experts at staging false flags. And they won't hesitate to sacrifice their own people for such an effect, okay? So I totally agree with you that this is a staged event. You know, where did Hamas get 2,200 missiles from, right? I mean, isn't the Israeli intelligence better than that? Back to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But I didn't get the oil collection. That's good. Since the oil price was coming down, they needed to drive it up again.
Yes, and also it's probably another excuse to bombard the Gaza, the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's basically Goliath, with the Jews being Goliath, and the Gaza David fighting. You know, the Palestinians are so outnumbered with all kinds of you know, jets, bombers, sophisticated weapons. They don't have a chance. The only reason the Jews keep them around is for these psyops. You're absolutely correct. It's a psyop. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. Okay. Just like the war in Ukraine is a psyop. The Jews control both sides, right? And I reported last Friday that Putin's chef, who was a former oligarch, and I said, and he was the one who led the attempt to overthrow Putin in recent months. I said, okay, this guy has to be a Jew. So I looked up his ancestry, and sure enough, his father and I think his uncle or grandfather are both Jews. And so why was Putin keeping this Jew around?
Was that Prigozhin, the Wagner group?
That's right. He's the leader of the Wagner group. He's a Jew and a former oligarch. He still had lots of money, right? And he organized, paid for it himself, and making an attack on Ukraine against Putin's wishes. So it's like, if an army commander initiates an operation without informing the commander in chief, right? Okay.
And that's, by all accounts, he wasn't supposed to have taken Bakhmut. They didn't want it.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Well. I think what happened was he didn't like the way the operation was going, so he deflected the arm. But this is the same thing that the CIA did to Kennedy. That operation in Cuba was not authorized by Kennedy. The CIA did it on its own. You know, talk about assuming false authority. Right. Yeah, back to you, Chris.
Yeah, just one other point you mentioned about the phones going off at 2:22.
Right.
Well, I did put it in the chat. You might not have noticed, but 2 is 2 times 11, and 11 is the number of Gog, or the little horn, the number 11.
The little horn.
So they put their signature on it. They always do.
That's right.
But yeah. Far as I know, we didn't have it go off in the UK here.
So, really? Okay.
It must have been confined to America, I think.
Probably.
Mind you, I haven't got a smartphone, and out lately, so it could be somewhere affected. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, if your phone starts smoking, you'll know that it works. Yeah. Right? Yeah, and unfortunately, I left my phone in the rain, and the alarm came while I was looking for it, and so I couldn't do anything to prevent it. But fortunately, the phone survived the downpour, and it's still working. In any case, yeah, those are very good points. Again, our people, the evil and the deviousness of the Jewish people is just unparalleled in history, And our people, the biggest cover that they have is pretending to be Israel, pretending to be God's chosen people. That allows them to get away with just about anything. Oh, well, we're God's chosen people. We can do whatever we want, right? Yeah.
The other thing, you won't believe this, but, you wouldn't have thought it possible, but a friend of mine was out last Saturday, and he saw a queue right out of the doctor's surgery onto the pavement, people queuing up to get their flu jab.
Wow.
You can't believe it, can you?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, because our people are still so totally hoodwinked. And, like I said, now I understand what the sea of glass is. The sea of glass talks about the veil lifting from our eyes and being able to see clearly. And seeing who the real enemy is, okay? So we are, and so again, let me just announce to everybody, if you want to ask a question, okay, well, here, someone else has joined. So thank you for the question and comments. Good stuff. Good
stuff. All right, thanks, Eli.
Okay, take care. All right, so we have Michael.
Hi, Pastor.
Yeah.
Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning, yeah.
Putin must know his history about the Jews in Ukraine. He's got to know, right?
Putin, absolutely. Absolutely.
They are. Yeah. So Russia is a white Orthodox Christian nation, and the Jews don't like it. And they
have
it. And they want them gone.
That's for sure. There's no doubt about
that. So Then we've got the Jew grifter, Zelensky, coming over here. It seems like every week now he's coming for a handout. And maybe I'm hoping the American people are going to wake up and see this guy as a Jewish grifter. And he's draining our treasury.
Right, yeah. Well, I mean, just look at the American government. Biden is surrounded by Jews. His whole family is intermarried with Jews to the point they consider him a Jew.
Right. And so I keep posting online different chat forms of the Jewish Biden administration. There's 400 or 500 of them, and they all are in top positions. And I don't know why the Americans maybe are starting to wake up. I don't know. We just need to keep talking about it, keep naming them. But the Jews, they're trying to start World War III on us.
Well, certainly. But they're doing it slowly. They have to do it slowly because it has to be carefully managed, right? They can't, they have to be careful not to kill too many of their allies. They really don't care about their own people, especially what they call the smaller Jews, the lesser brethren. And throughout history, the Zionists have sacrificed the lesser brethren time and time again, which shows you, and any Jew listening, you better be aware of this. The Zionists will sacrifice you like a pawn in a chess game. They will sacrifice you whenever they need to or whenever they want to.
Yeah. What do you think of the self-hating brother Nathaniel? He critiques his own race very
yes,
well.
Yes, he does.
What's
he
up
does.
With him? What's up with him?
Well, my opinion, and I've held this opinion for quite a time now. Yes, he's a Jew who tells the truth. But however, first of all, he's adopted Orthodox Christianity, which is just another version of Judeo-Christianity, which means nothing. You know, it's not the true Christianity that we teach here. However, I think what's going on, and this is going on with the Second Amendment as well, the Supreme Court ratifying the Second Amendment over and over again, they need conflict. The Jews want conflict. And every time the Supreme Court rules in favor of the Second Amendment, the liberals go wild, right?
Oh,
they go
yeah.
absolutely nuts, right? So they have to maintain this managed conflict until the day where they feel safe to invade, because we know that they're sending China's troops in across the border disguised as with their, what do they call it, sombreros, wearing sombreros, right? But having automatic weapons produced in China, et cetera, et cetera. And the Chinese are buying up real estate like crazy, farmland, et cetera. Okay. So it's all part of the operation. All right.
Yep.
Okay.
And so, we've got so Nathaniel. He'd be a self-hating Jew, I guess they'd call him.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And he does his work on critique on Jews is excellent, but
it is.
I don't like you said. You can never trust a Jew. Never.
No, you can't. You can never. You can never trust a Jew. And you know, with regard to Putin, Putin is in between a rock and a hard place, as Solzhenitsyn said. Right. Because, well, he's the leader of the nation of Russia, and he has done great work in restoring Orthodox Christianity and restoring respect for Christianity. And he doesn't believe in race mixing, et cetera, et cetera. However, they still have a law in the books which says you can't criticize the Holocaust.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
and there are rabbis around him. Every rabbi, as the Jews like to say, we have the ear of the king, right?
Mm-hmm.
So any rich Jew can wander in and say, "Well, Mr. Putin, this is what we want from you," and that
right.
puts him in a strange position. But nevertheless, he's putting on a tremendous show, and not that he isn't sincere, but he knows for sure. As he found out from Mr. Prozhenko, I guess his name is, that his chef was a Jew and an oligarch, and he countermanded Putin's orders and ordered an unauthorized attack.
Yeah.
Okay.
One other thing now. The temple was destroyed. The Jewish temple was destroyed in 70 AD.
That's correct.
So does that mean all their genealogy was wiped out? So
go ahead.
The people in Israel now are mainly Ashkenazi Jews that are not back to the bloodline of Christ.
Yeah,
is that true?
Okay. Yeah, no, that's absolutely true, but it's more to the story. The Sephardic Jews who've been living there for the last 2,000 years aren't Judah either. So this is this distinction we have to make. The word Jew is one of those insertions into the translation by the Masoretes, okay? It should always be translated Judah because Judah is a racial category. You have to be descended from Judah and nobody else. You have to be descended from Judah to be considered a Judahite, and no Jew qualifies for that. Jews are Edomites. The Sephardic Jews are Edomites and Canaanites, and the Ashkenazi Jews don't qualify either because none of the Ashkenazi Jews ever set foot in Palestine until the invasion in 1948.
Okay, there you go. Okay, all right. Thank you. Yes,
okay, Michael.
Thank you for thank you. All right, I'll keep tuning into your show. Thank you.
All right, very good. Thank you. Thank you, Michael. Okay, so folks, all you have to do is go to speakfreeradio.com and /bloodlines, and you can come in and ask me a question or make a comment. All questions, comments, welcome. All right, so let's get back to this document in the meantime, and I'll check in with the Eurofolk Radio chat room. I love this stuff that people post in the chat room here. This nimble horse, a Jew with a big nose and a yarmulke, you know, vaccine contains thimerosal, mercury. Yes, it does. That's the cause of autism, folks. That is the cause of autism. You should know that. You should know that. If you don't know it, you know it now. Okay, so let me make a quick announcement about Voice of Christian Israel, because ordinarily it would follow right after this show. However, Paul has been experiencing problems where the Speak Free Radio stream doesn't end when it's supposed to, and it takes over the Eurofolk Radio stream. So what we're going to do, we're going to do Voci an hour later. Today, it'll be an hour later for those of you in the so right now it's coming up on 11 Central Time, which would be noon Eastern Time. So normally it would start at noon Eastern Time, but we're going to delay it for an hour. It won't start till 1 Eastern Time. Okay. All right. And then we will also be simulcasting on Telegram because I'm multitasking as much as I possibly can here to get the word out. And so if that fails, which Paul wasn't quite sure whether it would work or not, if the Speak Free Radio stream still commandeers the EFR stream, then we will just switch to Telegram, because last week they were competing for each other with each other for the air. So we had EFR for 1 minute and SFR for another minute, and back and forth it went. Chaos. But what else is new? We live in a chaotic world, and that's what's happening. All right. So let's get back to the theme of today's show. And that was the end of chapter. What is the next chapter here? Oh, man. How many pages, blank pages do I have to deal with here? Oh, okay. That was chapter 6. And now we were going to go into chapter 7, the bibliography of the seed of the woman. And I'm hoping he's going to be doing some serious word studies, because this is the difference, the main difference between Christian identity and all other versions, or Israel identity or kingdom identity. We have various names for it. Whichever you prefer, what it means is we Israelites are the seed of the woman, Eve, through her son Seth. And the word Seth means replacement. He's the replacement for Abel. Cain continued to live. He married some woman from Genesis 1 and built a city. You don't build a city for just one, for two people. Maybe a tent, but not a city, folks. Okay. We have the correct version of scripture. And unfortunately, and this is part of my understanding of the verse we quoted about the sea of glass, our people are suddenly, after 2,000 years, beginning to understand the Holy Scriptures. We have had 1,700 years of Catholicism, which is a perversion of the Scriptures. 1,700 years of this perversion. Okay, the Catholic Church claims to be Israel. No, they're not. Israel is a particular race. It's not a church. It's a race, not a church. Catholicism, and now Catholicism is totally controlled by the Jews. It's been controlled financially by the Jews since the mid-1800s when the Rothschilds took over the Vatican Bank. Their Vatican Bank invests in abortion, even though they publicly speak out against it. Their bank invests in it, folks. They talk about hypocrisy. Hypocrisy everywhere. So, and I'll be tuning back in to StreamYard just to see if there's anybody else coming in, because I have to bring him into the chat room. So again, anybody who wants to chat with me, it's StreamYard.com/bloodlines. Okay, so let's get back to the document here. Bibliography of the Seed of the Woman. The following books will provide the beginning foundation for a knowledge of the seed of the woman. You must discern and take that which is good and leave that which is bad. These books are listed because they have information that will assist you in following the seed of the woman through the Bible and through history. Again, you must exercise spiritual discernment in your reading. Okay, and as Michael just, my discussion with Michael just revealed, that you cannot accept the word Jew as a translation for Judah. That is Masoretic. That is a Masoretic interpretation. And you know, the fact is that you have to go outside the Bible very often to get this knowledge. But most of this knowledge is contained in the Apocrypha, especially the book of 1st and 2nd Maccabees, 1st and 2nd Ezra. Ezra is the same person as Esdras, it's called in the Apocrypha. Esdras is Ezra. And you will not read more racist literature than the book of 2nd Esdras, 1st and 2nd Esdras. It totally talks about we need to be racially segregated from the other races and from other cultures. That is the theme of the Apocrypha, folks. In the book of Tobit. In the book of Tobit, Tobit's father gives him this advice. Do not marry outside of your race. Marry a woman of your own race. Now do you know why the Judeo-Christians have deleted the Apocrypha from the Bible? That's why, folks. Okay, so let's continue. Apocrypha, containing books no longer in the canon of Scripture. Well, what's the canon? That was decided by the Roman Catholic Church. But Constantine organized a committee, and that committee is Catholic, right? How can you trust a Catholic version of Scripture? That's all we had. Our people, the true Christian Israelites, had nothing but Catholicism fed to them, gavaged down their throats like a feeding tube down their throats into their stomachs for 1700 years, nothing but Catholicism, which was a perversion of Scripture, total perversion of Scripture, because Catholicism accepts race mixing. It does not teach the covenant message, which is exclusive to our people. Remember, the lost sheep of the house of Israel are those exiled 10 tribes that Yahweh sent into Assyria, which escaped from Assyria. And this is Isaiah 11:16, that there will be in a highway for my people Israel away from Assyria. And that what? Across the Caucasus Mountains into an area of the Danube River. The Bible predicts that, right? So again, this is something that the Judeo-Christian ministry will not touch, nor will the Jews touch it, because it proves that Israel has not been destroyed. Israel is still here. And in fact, the Bible says very clearly that all 12 tribes will continue to exist forever. But the Jews teach that the lost tribes have gone and disappeared, never to be found again. Again, the difference between identity and Judaism is so radical, and unfortunately, we have to be radically different from the Judeo-Christians too, because they believe Jewish lies, and our business is to expose Jewish lies. That's what we're all about, okay? So, Voice Christians won't be directly after Bloodlines today. There's going to be an hour, and hopefully Brother Hebert's show will broadcast clearly, because the earlier attempt, as I said earlier, with Brother Hebert's show before Voice of Christian Israel, was being interfered with from Speak Free Radio. Hopefully Paul has figured out what was wrong. Yes, okay, and Swamp Fox says, I think it was the Catholic Church was a big factor in getting Bibles removed from public schools. That is the KJV, right? And because the Catholic version differs remarkably from the Protestant version. And in my opinion, it was the Geneva Bible, which is even better than the King James Bible, because the Geneva Bible was composed by people that King James himself was trying to persecute and execute. That's why they had to flee to Geneva to put their Bible together. And the Bible brought to America by the pilgrims was the Geneva Bible, folks, not the King James Version. I highly advise, if you're interested in doing any Bible research, get a Geneva Bible. It is very instructive because it gives you the opinions of those heretics, so-called, that King James was trying to execute and or torture and punish. So they had to flee England to get away from King James and the Anglican Church, because the Anglican Church had become just as bad as the Roman Catholic Church. Just as bad, okay? And heretics, what the Roman Catholic Church called heretics, were simply trying to understand Scripture, because, and this is the Nicolaitanes prophesied in the book of Revelation, that the Nicolaitanes are unauthorized people trying to steal our religion from us, our heritage from us. And that includes the Roman Catholic Church. It includes the Jews. It includes today, unfortunately, virtually all of Judeo-Christianity. I think there's only one denomination besides Kingdom Identity which teaches racial segregation anymore, and that is the Primitive Baptist Church. And they are spread out all over the country, very small congregations, understandably so. And they don't advertise what they teach, because if they did, then Antifa and Black Lives Matter would be, you know, charging out against them and trying to burn their churches down. Okay. This is the times we live in, folks. We have to live with this reality until the second coming. I don't think there's anything else going to prevent these things from happening between now and then. Okay, so Bible Research Handbook, Volume 1 and 2 by Covenant Publishing. Now, some of these publishing houses are out of business because the Jews have virtually bought up every Bible publishing book company in America. I don't know about Europe, but they, you know, I used to go to a town in Michigan, South Central Michigan, that was a major headquarters of Bible publishing, very Christian-oriented, although it was Judeo-Christian, right? Grand Rapids, Michigan, which is, in fact, the second largest city in Michigan next to Detroit. And Grand Rapids, Michigan has so many outstanding used bookstores. I would actually drive up to Grand Rapids from Chicago just to see the used bookstores and see what they have available. Okay, and so I'd make a day of it, either spend a night at a motel or go camping, etc., and then come back with a bunch of books, right? Bible study books. And so this is the type of research. Now, since the Jews have bought up most of these Bible publishing companies, they're changing the word even more. So you have to go with old stuff, okay, such as the Book of Enoch, edited by R.H. Charles, Fox's Book of Martyrs, edited by Forbush, Heritage of the Anglo-Saxon Race by Geyer, that's G-A-Y-E-R, History of the Anglo-Saxon by Cheryl Turner, History of England by Hume, Israel and Judah by Arthur Pachkowski. And I've read some of these books, and I can tell you most of these are not to seed line. Much of it, the information is even, you know, not pro-Jewish, but, you know, it doesn't understand that the Jews are imposters. And that's the reason why I wrote The Great Impersonation, How the Antichrist Has Deceived the Whole World. The basic thrust of my book is to prove once and for all, nobody can disprove my argument in that book, that the Jews are imposters. They are Edomites impersonating Israel. They are Edomites impersonating Israel, and then the Ashkenazim have joined these Edomites in this charade. Judaism is the world's biggest charade. There's nothing Hebrew about Judaism. These people are not Hebrews. They're not Shemites. They're not Israelites. They're not Judahites. They are imposters through and through. Okay. The next book, well, Flavius Josephus, yeah. But again, you have to have eyes to see, because the translator of Josephus was not Jew savvy, although he does admit that Herod was an Edomite. He does admit that, but he also calls him a Jew, right? Which people who are not Jew savvy would falsely assume he means Judahite by that. And that's what the translator does mean, because he falsely believes the Jews are Judah. No, that's a lie. So you have to be able to see through that confusion to understand the book. Okay. Just write it down in your Bible. Jew does not equal Judah. Jew does not equal Judah. And there's the logical notation is you write the equal sign and do a diagonal line through the equal sign. That now means unequal. The two are unequal. They're not the same. Okay, next book, Judah's Scepter and Joseph's Birthright. Outstanding book. One of the most outstanding books on Israel identity ever written. New England Clergy and the American Revolution by Alice Baldwin. Now, it bears citing that the founding fathers of this country were not Judeo-Christians. They had their troubles with the Jews, and even Benjamin Franklin said, gentlemen, if you do not exclude the Jews from this nation in this constitution, within 200 years, the Jews will take over this nation. And that's exactly what has happened. Okay. So there was Christianity, not Judeo-Christianity. The word Judeo-Christian was formed in the 1930s, popularized by FDR, that half-breed Jew, because the Delano family, that's his middle name, Franklin Delano. The Delanos were Jews, folks. They were Jews. One Man's Destiny by Dickey. Dickey, I believe, is a pseudonym, but very good. I think it's talking about Abraham. Racial Realities of Europe by Stoddard. Our Nordic Grace by Richard Kelly Hoskins. St. Paul in Britain by Morgan. Symbols of Our Celto-Saxon Heritage by W.H. Bennett. Now, this is just scratching the surface. There's so much identity literature out there. We could fill libraries with this, but it all has been suppressed. Nevertheless, there are publishing houses that reprint these documents, and they need to be reprinted. The Coming of the Saints by Taylor. Doesn't mention A.J. Taylor? I'm not sure. The Drama of the Lost Disciples by Jewett, another good book. The Anti-Nicene Fathers by Erdmann's Publishing Company. That is the direct heritage of Jesus and the apostles. That anti is A-N-T-E, meaning before the Council of Nicaea. And it was not Charlemagne, Constantine, who aggravated Christianity by calling this Catholic Council into being. And they almost rejected the Book of Revelation. The Book of Revelation got in by only one vote, almost was rejected. So, folks, this is what's going on in the world today. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. We will see you next week right here on Bloodlines. Thank you for listening. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.